everybody. Nice sunny day, a little bit chilly, but nice and sunny. We continue the More to Life Than This series, and as John was saying, I've been given, well actually I asked to do it. I said, could I preach on More Than Conquerors? And as they always are, Barry and John were very gracious and said, yes, of course, go ahead. So it's a subject that's really challenged me as I've thought and looked at the scriptures, looked at what it really means to be more than a conqueror. Because particularly if you're a man, and there are many men here this morning, if you're a man, what it conjures up in your mind is conquering heroes, swords and shields and guns and tanks and all sorts. So when you think of more than a conqueror, you know, it's quite challenging, because everybody loves a victory, isn't it? We all, many of us watch sports, watch football, F1. So is it Lewis Hamilton's the champion, you know, and we say, yes, he's victorious, he's won. You know, Andy Murray a few years ago, I was very excited when I saw him win Wimbledon, you know. And so these victories, these things that we look up to and we see this, so we start to think, this is what it means to have victory. This is what it means to be a conqueror, an overcomer. But is it really, from God's point of view, what is it? And I want to challenge all of us. What is it? What does he mean by victory, overcoming, and conquering? And hopefully by the end of this, and as I said, certainly God, I had a bit of a set thinking on this, and God's has met with me and spoke to me, and I'll share a bit of that later, what that means. But we're going to look at conquering. And when you talk about conquering, many of us think of this chap here. So anyone know who this? Yeah, William the Conqueror. So for those at school, I don't know about other countries and nations, but those at school in England, you know, history lesson, William the Conqueror, Battle of Hastings, 1066, October the 14th, 1066. You know, this is big, you know, they really, you know, that's probably the only bit of history that I remember from my history at school, to be honest. It just came out, 1066, Battle of Hastings. So let's just look at that slightly first. So the king before King William was King Edward the Confessor. And the story is that he named William the Conqueror his successor. So William the Conqueror, if you remember, was from Normandy, so he was a Frenchman. But King Edward the Confessor named him his successor. But Harold, who was a Saxon, so from England, he thought the crown belonged to him. So Harold took the crown for himself and declared himself king. So you had King Harold. Now, obviously, William was not pleased about this. So he mustered up a big army and fleet, and came across the channel and landed in that area of Hastings. And so there was a big battle there, a very famous battle. And William conquered. He succeeded. Harold was killed. And then then William went to other places and declared himself the victor. And on Christmas Day, 1066, he was crowned king of England. So that's the story. And in reality, when you look at the story, William the Conqueror was notoriously ruthless. He was a ruthless man, and he conquered by being ruthless and by killing his enemy. And he looked at power as his ways of bringing his conquering. Now, that's what we need to look at. Now, that's the world's perspective often of conquering, of being of a victory. But is that God's? And so, sorry, that's depicting the Battle of Hastings. So let's turn to our main text for this morning from Romans chapter 8. Now, Romans is one of my favorite books, and it works you through from where man was in his state. He was in his sinful state, and it works through about justification by faith. Then Paul teaches us about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and he brings us into 8, and he talks about the life of the spirit, that we can have that victory, that overcoming by a life in the spirit. So that's the background, and this is the end section of it then, and Paul is summing up what he's taught us. And this is fascinating as you look to it, what actually Paul is sharing here. So let's read this through. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. It's such an amazing end to chapter 8, and it's not an end that you would expect to end. When he's talking about us being overcomers and more than conquerors. Now, as I looked, and as you know, I'm at Bible college at the moment, and we're studying Greek and Hebrew, so you've got to look at the Greek, what some of the Greek of this is, particularly conquerors, more than conquerors. That is hyper nikia, and I'm sure you all know what that means. No, it means above an overcomer. So more than conquerors is probably better. It's more that we're an overcomer. We overcome situations. We're able to overcome. So conquerors is not perhaps the best translation of that. And it's more that we're overcomers through what Christ has done for us. And as we've just sung some of those songs, it reminds us about what Christ has done on the cross. And if ever there was more than a conqueror, it is Jesus Christ our Lord, isn't it? He is our conqueror. He is our victor. He is the one that overcame. And because we live in him, because we're raised in him, because we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we share in his victory. We share in that. And that's a place when we're raised up, when we're seated. It is a place of victory. It is a place that we can overcome. But Christ is our overcomer that we look to. And so I want to look at two aspects that enable us or help us to be overcomers. I'm sure all of us here, we feel, oh no, I struggle with this and I struggle with that. Oh, I'd long to be an overcomer, to feel I'm a conqueror in that way. I'll share with you shortly that many of us are overcomers and we don't realize it. Many have overcome all kinds of difficulty and hardship and we don't see it. We don't see that we are overcomers. We are conquerors in Christ, because often we look to the world as examples of what an overcomer is, someone that succeeded, someone who's successful, who's risen to the top. And we go, no, I'm just little old me and I'm just doing what I'm doing. But I'll show you, no, what God sees as an overcomer is different to what we see as an overcomer. So let's look at overcoming by faith. For everyone born of God, from 1 John chapter 5, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So our faith and trusting in Jesus Christ, trusting in the finished work of the cross, is absolutely essential for us overcoming. Because So the first is trusting in Jesus, our Savior. He is our Savior. He is mighty to save. And as we put our trust in Him, He saves us out of every situation. He's not only our Savior unto salvation, but He's our Savior in every circumstance, in every situation we're in. And many people I've talked to, they forget that. I said, have you called on Jesus? He's your Savior, isn't He? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah. And they call on the name of Jesus, and He comes to save us. So if we trust in ourselves, it's no wonder often we struggle because we're just trusting in our own ability, what we can do to overcome the situation. And that's not right. Our confidence, our trust should be in Jesus Christ, not in ourselves. Trust in the finished work of the cross. That's essential. That our righteousness, our forgiveness comes from the cross. Our standing is in Jesus Christ, all the work of the cross. Don't try to make yourself righteous in your own effort by trying and striving, but trust in the finished work of the cross. Trust what He's done for you. Keep looking to that. And you'll find that victory in your life. You'll find that you're able to overcome. It's always as you look to your Savior, you're able to overcome and His work. We often just look inwards and then feel a failure. It's always looking to Him. Trusting in God's grace, and that was released and worked through by the cross. So again, but grace enables us to overcome. Grace gives us the strength that we need. Call on God's grace to help you. Trusting in His word. Looking at His word and believing what it says. Quoting what it says. Last time I spoke, I read a whole list of scriptures, and that encouraged people, lifted them up. The word of God is powerful. It's living and active. It's the sword of the Spirit. And it's for us to use the sword of the Spirit. So again, using God's word and trusting in it helps us to overcome, to be those victors. Finally, trusting in the Holy Spirit. We've had recently a lot of discussions about the Holy Spirit at the Bible College that I'm at. And now, presently, people are getting touched and filled by the Holy Spirit. Something's happening at our Bible College. It's a conservative Bible college, and people are getting filled by the Holy Spirit. People are start speaking in tongues in the Bible College. So God is, but they're saying, not only that they're experiencing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're saying they feel stronger, they feel equipped, they feel helped, they feel enabled to do the work of the ministry. These are men training for the ministry. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. We need a filling of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we're weak in ourselves. You know, we're just weak in our own abilities. We need and relying on the Holy Spirit in all that we do, in all that we preach. So this is overcoming by faith. Now, the next session, overcoming by love. Now, this is where I need to give some explanation, because essentially what I've spoke to now is kind of the gist of my talk. I felt this is what I really want to give to the people. This is us being victorious in Christ because He is victorious, and that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All of this is true. It enables us to be overcomers. But as I was, a number of you know, I went up to my daughter's graduation. She's graduated in criminology. In Coventry University, give many thanks to God and for people that prayed for her. It's my daughter Becky. She almost didn't finish the course. She got ill, as a number of you know, and she really struggled. And I could sense, you know, some kind of spiritual attack on her, trying to prevent her doing that. But God helped her. I mean, she's not a born-again believer, but she is open to the things of God. But she graduated with a 2-1 in criminology. So that's marvelous. And I was really, really excited as her father. But as I was driving up in the car, yeah, God met with me as I was driving up and started to speak to me about this topic, about what overcoming it was. And He knew, obviously, what I was going to speak. He started to speak into my heart and reminding, He said, overcoming. The real part, important part of overcoming is overcoming through my love, He says. am overcoming by love and by being loving. He said, this is the real emphasis of overcoming that I want you to give this morning. That it was Christ's love that took him to the cross for us. It was Christ's love that enabled him to suffer in that way, to face that. The Garden of Gethsemane, as we mentioned, he was sweating blood. He was in a very difficult situation, felt it was overwhelming. But what took him to the cross was A, that he was obedient to his Father's will. B, it was that he loved us. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It was love that took him to that cross. He loved us so much that he took us to himself to the cross. So just a reminder so if we just go back to this section there, because this is what it talks about. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he talks about all these difficulties and said many of us have had difficulties, trials, stuff that we've gone through. And what is it that's helped us through that? It's God's love, isn't it? That we've overcome situations and difficulties through his love. Because it says, no, and all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us. I always used to think that was a mistranslation and that it should be him who loves us. But I really looked at it and thought about it, and no, it's right. It's him who loved us. That's Jesus who loved us. And how did he love us? Through the cross. This is talking about we were more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us on the cross. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul here is convinced. Do you mean this is what enables us to go on? This is what enables us to overcome, is the love of God in our lives, isn't it? It convinces, he's convinced that nothing, there is nothing that can separate us. Once you're saved, once you're in Christ, you can't come out of Christ. Once you're in him, you're in him. That's security. You can't come out of him. You can't fall out of him. He's got you securely in his hand. Absolutely securely. He will not let you go. Like the song that we sang earlier, love will never let you go. He will never let you go. His love will never let you go. And it's his love that enables us to go on. It's his love that enables us to be more than conquerors. In all situations and difficult trials and whatever comes our way. And we may not see the victory. We may not see that overcoming. We just think, oh, thank God I managed to get through that. But God says, no, that is a victory. You have a victory. Like in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. And it says, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. So most of our victory is standing firm in Christ. It's not like the world. It's not waving the sword, shields, and clashing and fighting. It's standing firm in the truth of God, knowing he loves us, knowing we're secure, standing upon his promises. That what enables us to go on and keep going on. And in the end, we will have, Christ will give us that crown, and he says, yes, you've overcome. But it won't be in an overcoming in the way that we think. It's in an overcoming that God says, yes, you've overcome. And you will say, how did I overcome? Well, you overcome in this situation. You kept going. You kept loving. When someone was horrible to you, when someone said that nasty thing to you, you didn't fight back. You kept it to yourself. You used love. You made love a priority. So look at 1 Corinthians 13. And now all these things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now we've looked at faith. I mean, hope is an important part, again, of overcoming. But the greatest of all these is love. And so often, as I said, God had to speak to my heart. And so often, you know, to me, when I talk about this kind of topic, it's all about faith. It's all about believing, about overcoming. and rising to the top somehow, being successful in the Lord. And we've talked about at the Bible College, having a successful ministry, having a big church, you know, success, success, success. And we see that as overcoming and rising. But again, the Word of God just reminds us the greatest of these is love. Matthew 5, 43 to 5, you have heard what it said. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons and daughters of your Father in heaven. So this just seems alien to the world. Love your enemies. Love those that persecute you. Be good to them. But this is what he wants us to do. He wills us on to do. It's a very difficult thing. Again, we were discussing this, and it's such a hard thing. But that's overcoming. That's being a victor, you know, victorious by loving those that hurt you and persecute you. That's real love. And Romans 12, 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So with bad stuff happening around you, and you want to lash out, you want to do something against it, it's by being good, by doing good, by being loving, that helps us to overcome these situations that surround us. So it's a different kind of overcoming than we'd think. Let's again look at 1 Corinthians 13 and just remind us. And again, when I looked at this scripture there, I hadn't, the last bit, love never fails, I've not really focused on that or grasped what it was meaning, what absolutely means to us. So let me read this out to you. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. He's saying love overcomes. Love is the overcomer. Because it does these things. It always trusts. It keeps hoping, keeps believing, keeps persevering. You know, all these things are hanged upon love, hinged and related to love. And it's love that enables us to overcome. I kind of want to end just on as the Lord was speaking to me in the car about all these matters. He reminded me of an account that I read quite a number of years ago. I was staying in a Christian home, and they had all these kind of books around me, and I picked up one book. It's by Rick Joyner. Do you know Rick Joyner? Morning Star Ministries. And at first I approached it a little bit skeptical, because I thought, what you know, it seemed like prophetic and visions and whatever was going on. So I thought, let's just see what it has to say. But as I started to read it, I was really drawn into it. And I just sensed God was wanting me to read this book. And what particularly impacted me was an account that Rick Joyner gave. And he said he was really, one day, really seeking God, really seeking him. And he had a vision. He felt he was taken up into heaven. And that's scriptural, because we know Paul the Apostle, he went up to the third heaven. I know Rick Joyner's not the Apostle Paul, but it is possible. You can have these visions. You can have these things. So Rick Joyner was up in heaven, and the Lord was there, and the Lord was kind of showing him around. And whilst he was there, Rick Joyner noticed this man that he kind of recognized and said, I recognize, because he saw a lot of previous saints and evangelists and preachers there in heaven, but he said, I don't know who he is, but I recognize his face. And the Lord said to him, that's Angelo. He was a homeless man. And now he's here in heaven in glory. And he's seated up here. And he said, Rick said to the Lord, what did he do? What was the circumstances? So the Lord started to say, he said, well, this man had a really bad upbringing. He was abused as a child. He was abandoned by his parents. He ended up in children's homes. And then he ended up on the street, homeless. And one day, whilst he was homeless, he found a tract on the floor, picked it up, and got saved. Got born again. But he continued to be homeless. And the Lord said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give him a measure of grace and love. And I'm going to kind of see what this man does with this relatively small measure. Right? And this man started to tell the other homeless people about the love of God. He started to share his faith with them. He tried to help them. He remained homeless. And he was only able to witness and bring someone to salvation, one person, during that time. But he was so excited about it. And I remember the account was that this man, once he was born again, just treasured everything. You know, an apple to him was like a feast. And he rejoiced and he gave, you know, thanks to God for it. And time went on, and there was a severe winter, and so this guy was trying to help the other homeless people out. And this is how he died. The Lord said, this is how he died. He died with his arms around another homeless man, trying to keep him alive, trying to keep him from the frost and the coldness from that man perishing. That's how he died. And then he went up into glory. And he was honored. He was recognized for his great love. And the Lord was saying to Rick Joyner, he said, this is overcoming. An onlooker may see he didn't achieve an awful lot. But he said, I saw everything. I saw his heart. I saw what he did with that small measure of love I gave him. He used all of it. He used all of it. And he finally used it to save someone else. And so I really recognize that. He said, that is overcoming. That is real victory. Somehow different to what we think success is, isn't it? We would think success is a successful ministry. But the Lord sees our heart. He sees what we do, every motive we have. And he sees that as overcoming all kinds of circumstances. So finally, if we want to know what a true conqueror looks like, we do not look to the world's examples, but we look to Jesus Christ. So he is our example. He is our example of overcoming and being victorious and being a conqueror. From the world's point of view, the cross is foolishness. It looked like he failed, didn't it? From their point of view, it didn't look like success. It didn't look like victory. It didn't look like overcoming. But we know different that it was. Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. He emptied himself, became a man, and went to the cross for us. He was obedient to the cross. And because of that, God exalted him. He raised him and exalted him to the highest place in heaven and declared Jesus Christ our Lord, that every knee and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Now he lowered himself, humbled himself, became like a servant. A servant to all, to him, is what is overcoming. Being a servant, laying it down, loving until the very end. That's what he says is victory and overcoming. And we too, as we look to him as our example, we too, as we're in Christ, and we have him living inside of us, Jesus Christ, our overcomer, our victor, he lives in us. He enables us, he helps us to overcome our circumstances. He enables us, he pours his love into our hearts. He enables us to love when we feel, I just can't love in this situation. I can't love that person. Because that's what real victory looks like, isn't it? Loving the unlovable. Someone that looks to be unlovable and we choose to love them. That's overcoming. But not in the way the world would see. The world would say, that's foolish. Why don't you just tell them to get lost? She's laughing. But this is real overcoming, isn't it? Loving the unlovable. Being like Christ. He was our example. He came to seek the lost. He came to seek the broken. He came to seek the sinners. Those that needed him. Okay. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this message. Thank you for the reminder, Lord, that because of you, because of your victory, because you overcame, because you are that conqueror, that we can live and rest in you, and we can share in your victory, Lord, because of that. But also thank you for the reminder of love, Lord, that it's overcoming by love. It's by your love poured into our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be more loving. Help us, Lord, to overcome difficult circumstances, Lord. Enable us, Lord, as you have been doing already, Lord. Help us, Lord, to know you better, to know your goodness, to know your grace, to declare you Lord, and to declare you victorious in our lives. Amen.